Turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. We'll read verse 8. Very familiar, very simple verse of Scripture. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. This morning we spoke upon a man called Jesus. Now we see he is the same today, yesterday, and forever. Very plain statement. Very bold statement. It is a plain and bold declaration of one of the greatest foundational doctrines concerning the essence and the person, the nature of God. That is the doctrine of immutability. Simply meaning that God is incapable of change. Who he is cannot change. He is incapable of change. I preached a message once way back in the early 80s, and I entitled it, Things That God Cannot Do. And I said that Sunday morning, I said, tonight I'm going to be preaching on things God cannot do. And I had several people come up to me, Brother Dan, God can do everything. I said, well, you come tonight and you'll find out there's some things he can't do. And this is one of them. He can't change. He would have to deny himself. He can't lie. That's another one. And on it goes. But the doctrine of immutability is a branch of his eternity. True immutability must be eternal. In Psalm 90, verse 2, we read, from everlasting to everlasting, that's eternity. Thou art God, that's immutability. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. You do not change. He is unalterably fixed in his being. We read in Psalm 102:27, thou art the same. Thou art the same. That can't be said of any one of us. It can only be said of the Lord. Malachi 3, verse 6. We hear God say, for I am the Lord, I change not. I am the Lord, I change not. Romans 1:23, he is called the uncorruptible. The uncorruptible God. James 1, verse 17, we read, of whom is no variableness or alteration, neither shadow of turning, not the slightest turning from who he is. The doctrine of immutability declares the greatness of God. And there is a reasonableness about the doctrine of immutability. Reason tells us that all change results in addition or subtraction, for better or for worse. And such cannot even be imagined of God. What can you add to God? If you can add anything to God, then he wasn't everything before. And if you can subtract anything from God, then he's less than what he was before. So just reason tells us that God cannot change. If he could, it would call into question the very being of God. If God could change, then he could cease to be God. And if he can cease to be God, then everything falls apart. We have no eternal security. If God can change, if Jesus can change, if the Holy Spirit can change, there's our security is in the person of the Lord. Our security is not in an experience. Our security is in the person of God. So here in our text, the writer speaks of the second person of the triune God, Jesus Christ. And he makes a statement of fact concerning the essence, the nature, and the person of Jesus Christ. Now immediately, someone, not here necessarily, will say, well, Jesus did change. He went from spirit to flesh. You're missing the point. His person did not change. Who he is did not change. Never has, never can. So it's a statement concerning his essence, concerning his nature, concerning his person, who he is. So we want to speak tonight on the same Jesus. I'm glad I can say that every day. The same Jesus. So consider this declaration that is made here in our text. It's a fact. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Really, it's a fact with two parts. Jesus Christ, the same. That's a fact. What is the extent of that fact? That would be yesterday, today, and forever. One fact, but it's a fact that covers all time. It's a fact that goes beyond time. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Notice the word and. He could have said, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, forever. But he puts the conjunction and. Just showing continuous. So what does this mean? Well, it means that all that Jesus Christ was yesterday, he is today. Without the least change or alteration. It means that all that he is today, he will forever be. And all that he will be, he has been. And he is. Jesus Christ, the same. Now the word yesterday here would go all the way back to the beginning, but even before that. It would go all the way back before the foundation of the world. It would go back before there was time. Before time. So it is forever back. Jesus Christ the same, forever back. We see also the word forever. He's the same forever forward. He's the same forever back. He's the same forever forward. And what he was forever back, he will be forever forward. And whatever he was forever back and whatever he'll be forever forward, he is today. That's very comforting to you and I. So in our text, Jesus Christ is said to be something forever back. He is said to be something right now. He is said to be something forever forward. What is said of him? He is the same. He's the same. That's the fact concerning him. He is the same. So what does that mean? Well, that means he's identical to. It means that he matches and duplicates whatever he was forever back. Right now, he's identical to. And he will be forever forward. So Jesus Christ is right now identical to. He is the exact match and duplicate of what he's always been. And Jesus Christ will forever be identical and the duplicate of what he is and what he has been. In other words, all he was forever back, he is today. And all that he will forever forward be, he was forever back, and he is today. So that's the fact that is stated. Now, it is a statement of fact concerning the person of Jesus Christ. The writer of Hebrews, through the entire book, places Jesus Christ center stage. Throughout the whole book, the spotlight is upon Jesus Christ. And he exhorts his readers to consider this Jesus and to look to him. There in Hebrews chapter 12. He sets him forth in chapters 1 through 3 as superior to the prophets. Again, he's writing to Jews. And he is saying Jesus Christ is superior to all the prophets in verses 1 through 3 of chapter 1. And then in chapters 1 and 2, he declares that Jesus Christ is superior to the angels. Chapter 3, he picks up also and he declares that Jesus Christ is superior to Moses. And in chapter 4, he is superior to Joshua. And in chapter 5, he is superior to Aaron. And then throughout the book, he reveals that Jesus Christ is superior to all the Old Testament ordinances, to all the Old Testament feasts and sacrifices. And now we come toward the close of the book, and he says, this one who is superior to all, he is the same yesterday and today and forever. In the book of Hebrews, he refers to Jesus Christ. Chapter 1 has the Son of God. He refers to him as the heir of all things, as the creator and preserver of all things, and the brightness of the Father's glory, the express image of God. This is just in the first few verses of chapter 1. He would go on to declare that Jesus Christ is the cleanser of sin. He is the captain of salvation. He is the merciful and faithful high priest. He is the author of salvation. He is the great shepherd of the sheep. And then he calls upon his readers in Hebrews 12, verse 2, to be looking unto Jesus, And in Hebrews 12, verse 3, he says, consider him. Consider him, the one that I have presented to you throughout the book. Consider him. And now he reminds his readers, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Again, a declaration of his immutability. And there's also a statement concerning everything he taught, concerning his doctrine. He's immutable, and he will not add or subtract from his teaching, from his doctrine. He will not endorse any new doctrine. So all of these people who come up with new doctrines and say, the Lord showed it to me, I'm sorry, no he didn't. He does not endorse any new doctrine. He is the same. So think about this. Jesus Christ is the message of this book. He is the central message of this book. You take Jesus Christ out of this book, and there's really no message. He is the central message. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What that means is that the message of this book does not change. Because it's about one who is the same. Forever back, forever forward, and today. We do not need a new message for a new generation. We simply need to declare the old message. That's it. And people that have a problem with that, their problem is greater than they realize. Jesus Christ, God Himself, is the same yesterday and today and forever. That goes along with the fact that He's infinite. He's eternal. But Jesus Christ, being God, is omnipotent. People say, well, you can't really say that because when he was man, he couldn't do things that God did. He wouldn't do. He chose not to do. He veiled his deity in flesh. He was no less God because he does not change. Now, people who say, and there's many, that Jesus Christ was different or less God in the flesh than he was before he came, less God in the flesh than he is now. Think about that statement. That means that when he left heaven and came to earth, he changed. And if he changed, he either became more or less. Now, since he became man, the logical conclusion of these people would be he became less. Okay, so he's less than God. He changed. He's less than God. You're putting your salvation in something less than God. Because he is the central part of salvation. And then when he went back to heaven, he became all God again. Well, he changed again. You got a real problem. There's a real problem with that type of theology. Jesus Christ was the God-man. But he's the God-man without sin. And he never became less God. Never. He's the same. He's omnipotent. Being God, he's omnipotent. Being God, he's the possessor of all power in heaven and earth. That was true when he walked this earth. He did not display all of his power, but he possessed it. He's all-knowing as God. He's the owner of all as God. He's holy, he's spotless, he's pure. As God, he's higher than all, he's greater than all. And all of this is so yesterday, today, and forever. It's all so forever back, forever forward, and right now. So whatever may happen in the future, he'll be what he's always been. And he'll be what he is. And he'll be what he will always be. God. Jesus Christ is the shepherd of the sheep. You and I that are saved are the sheep. There's a relationship between us and him. We change. But he is the same yesterday and today and forever. As the shepherd, he is the all-sufficient one. In him all fullness dwells. He's the one who can meet my every need. And he's the same yesterday and today and forever. He's the shepherd. He's the one who made David to lie down in green pastures. He's the one who led David beside the still waters. He's the one who restored David's soul and led him in the paths of righteousness. He's the one that was with him. He's the one that prepared a table before him. And I'm here to tell you, he's still the same. He's still the same. He's the same shepherd that he was. He still is. And what he was and still is, he will continue to be. Jesus Christ is the refuge in storm. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The storms may be different, but the refuge remains the same. In all the yesterdays, he has proven to be a refuge in storm. And no matter what the storm is, he still is. And no matter what storm may come, he will be what he has been. And he will be what he is. And he will continue so. Jesus Christ is a great miracle worker. And he is the same yesterday and today and forever. The one who did what no one else could do still can. How do you know that? Because he's the same. He's the same. The one who walked on storm-tossed waters with absolute majesty and control, still the same. Still in absolute control. The one who fed over 5,000, a few loaves and a few fishes, can still take little or nothing. He doesn't need anything. He can take nothing and do the amazing. The one who calmed the storm with a word still is and will continue to be the master of the wind. That'll never change. The one who delivered and set free the demon possessed still is and will continue to be the great emancipator. The one who healed the blind and the crippled and the deaf and the diseased still is the great restorer and enabler. The one who raised the dead still is the conqueror of death and the giver of life. The one who brought so much joy and peace and satisfaction and comfort and purpose to so many lives. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. He is what He was. None of us can say that. He is what He was. And He will be what He is. I'm glad I'm not what I was. And I'm glad I'll not be what I am. And I'm glad that He is always the same. No case was hopeless to Him. And He's the same. There's still no hopeless case. He is just as willing to meet the needs of people today as He was when He walked this earth. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. He's the conqueror over the world, over death, over the grave, over sin, over the devil, over principalities and powers. And He is the same yesterday and today and forever. You see, He was the Almighty Conqueror. He still is the Almighty Conqueror. And He'll forever be the Almighty Conqueror. That's where my security is. My security is in an immutable God. This immutable God planned my salvation. And I'm secure because He'll never change. If there's even the slightest possibility that He changed, then there's a possibility that I lose everything I have in Him. It's not even possible. Again, we get off here a little bit, but most in our fellowship believe that Jesus Christ, they believe that Jesus Christ was impeccable. My question is, do you believe in the absolute impeccability of Jesus Christ? Most don't. Most believe that Jesus Christ was actually tempted to sin. Where does temptation come from? There has to be something within us. Read James chapter 1. When lust hath conceived, that's desire. There has to be a desire within us to do what Satan is soliciting us to do. You mean to tell me that there was a desire for Jesus Christ, there was a desire in Jesus Christ to do any of those three things that Satan solicited Him to do? There couldn't have been. If you say there was, you've now got sinful desires in Christ, and now you've got a real problem. He tested Christ. Satan thought he could get Jesus Christ to sin. But all Satan did was prove that He was God. He's the same. And I'm here to tell you, if He could have sinned, then He still can. And we don't have much security then. He's the one and only Savior of sinners. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What a statement. It is a statement of fact in the midst of constant change. We, of course, we change every day. Something about us changes every day. We get older. We live in constant change. We may not always be aware of it, but it's always changing. Climate changes. Nations change. Science changes. Medical science changes, that is, in man's eyes. Politics change. Economics change. Education changes. Philosophies change. People change. Families change. Relationships change. Churches change. But in the midst of all this is this constant. God is immutable. God's word is the same. Sometimes change is unwelcome. Sometimes change can be painful. Sometimes change can be emotionally jarring, leaving us feeling empty or sad or restless or disconnected. But in the midst of all change, Jesus Christ the same. Yesterday and today and forever. And you just look around the room. Change is everywhere. Some of you have known one another all your life. Been a lot of changes. A lot of changes in each and every one of us. Change is everywhere. It's the nature of life. It's inevitable. But in the midst of it all, Jesus Christ the same, yesterday and today and forever. In this world, material world, there's nothing that's solid. Nothing that's stable, nothing that's substantial. Everything in the world that we grasp is basically air. It's building upon sand. You think about it, everything in the world that brings us joy in time will break your heart. You love that little baby, brings you such joy. But in time, that little baby may break your heart. Through their actions, through death, you love your spouse. But in time, they're going to leave this life and it's going to break your heart. There's change. All around us are the shifting sands of change. Change may come gradually, without much notice. Change can come drastically. Change can come very suddenly, leaving us devastated. But change, whether it's gradual or sudden, can occur in our families, our health, careers, finances, relationships, circumstances, even in our hearts and even in our minds. We live in a world of upheaval. And we need some center of permanence. We need that. We need a center of stability. Everyone is looking for some sort of stability, some sort of security. And most are looking in the things that we've mentioned. People, jobs, families, relationships. On and on. Looking for stability and security where it cannot be found. Everyone has a security blanket. Every one of us. What is our security blanket? What is it that makes us feel safe? Let me tell you, if it's anything in this world, that can change. That can be taken away. Well, my family, I feel safe. That can change by tonight. What makes you feel that it's okay? When things are difficult to understand, what makes you feel it's okay? That's security. Where do you go to feel safe and secure in times of trial? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, and today, and forever. My point is, God is our security. God is our security. So what wonderful words, Jesus Christ the same, yesterday and today and forever. He is now what He shall forever be, and what He shall forever be, He is, and He always was. So let's make brief application. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. We can find establishment there. You read through the book of Hebrews and you see that they lived, of course, in the midst of powerful, strong prejudice toward Christianity, those who held to Judaism, the religion of the day. And many of these Hebrews who professed to be saved had gone back to Judaism. And some of them that hadn't gone back, they're wavering. And they're feeling a pressure to go back. As you read through the book of Hebrews, you see there are many warnings given. And there are many statements made. And these warnings and these statements declare that the spiritual climate was very dire at that time. Many had or were in danger of not taking the Word of God seriously. Again, you see this from the various statements that are made. We don't have time to go to each one. Many had or were in danger of neglecting their salvation. Hebrews 2. First few verses. Many had failed in taking care of their spiritual condition. Many had hardened their hearts. Hebrews chapter 3. And many were in danger of such. Many were not experiencing and enjoying the spiritual rest that God had provided, because of unbelief. Many were not profiting from the preached word. Many had failed to advance spiritually. They were at a standstill. They were not living up to their spiritual privileges. Many had fallen away and were at a distance from God. Many had gotten away from their profession of faith. What they professed in Christ, they now denied. You read the book of Hebrews and you see that many failed to consider one another. And they had forsaken the assembling of themselves, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. And they were sinning willfully. They had cast aside their confidence. And had failed to persevere. And had failed to live by faith. They had failed to deal with the sin in their lives. It all sounds pretty familiar. And from the 13th chapter, we see that they were failing in brotherly love. And many had become morally loose and covetous. And many had or were in danger of being carried about with false teaching. Many had already been carried away by false teaching. Others were in the process. Their condition was such that the writer had to plead with them to permit the Word of God into their lives. Notice what it says there in Hebrews 13, verse 22. And I beseech you, brethren, I plead with you, suffer, permit the word of exhortation. He is saying, please, don't cut me off. Hear what I'm saying. He had to plead with them. That says much about their condition. For I have written a letter unto you in few words. He's saying it's not that long of a letter. Please, permit it into your lives. From all of this, we see that their situation was very familiar with the situation of Christendom today. If you were to sum it all up, you would say that their lives were being controlled by their circumstances and their surroundings. That happens very easily. And it is to these that he writes. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And then notice verse 9. We read Hebrews 13, 8. Now notice verse 9. In light of this statement made in verse 8, be not carried about with divers, various, and strange doctrines or teachings. For, because it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace. This gracious truth, Jesus Christ the same. Not with meats. Not with ritual. Again, meats has to be taken in the context of the whole book, the ceremonial laws. Not with ritual, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. He's saying ritual, and then those who were going back into Judaism, that's what they were going back to. They were going back to ritual. They were denying Jesus Christ, they were leaving Jesus Christ, and going back to ritual. And he says, this is not profitable. And to encourage us not to do that, Jesus Christ is the same. Yesterday and today and forever. There's establishment there. Your heart can be established in Jesus Christ. I hope that we do not place our security in the welfare of the United States. We want the welfare of the United States to be good. We want that. We desire that. But that's not where my security is. That's not where your security is. Our security is not in the economy. We want a good economy. We want that. Because it just makes life easier. But that's not where our security is. Our security is not in retirement plans. Our security is not in a job. Our security is not even in our spouse or children or grandchildren. And our security is not to be in circumstances, because all of these things can be swept away. All of these things can change just like that. But our security is to be in God. Jesus Christ the same. No matter what my circumstances are, He's the same. No matter what my circumstances have been, no matter what they will be, it doesn't matter. He's the same. And that's what matters. You see, we get our eyes, we get our focus, we get our perspective on what really doesn't matter. What matters is the Lord, and He's the same. And I am so glad that He came, saved my soul, and I have eternal security. Not because I believe in the doctrine of eternal security. Not because of anything I have done, but because of who He is. My salvation is in the person of God. And that never changes. And therefore, I have blessed assurance. All that we would rejoice tonight that Jesus Christ, He's the same. He's the same. People will, you know, they'll win the lottery. They'll make such a foolish statement. Oh, it won't change me a bit. Well, it sure will. And even if you didn't win it, you're still going to change. Because that's the nature of life. But not so with the Lord. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us first song.